On today's episode of Tips from the Top Floor, we'll review the Slack Challenge and I'll try to help Andrew get the best photography out of his upcoming Alaska cruise. This is Tips from the Top Floor, episode 817 for the 5th of April, 2018.
Tips from the top floor, tips from the top, all right.
Hey and welcome, this is Chris Marquardt. You're listening to Tips from the Top Floor, episode 817, coming to you from the Viewfinder Villa right outside the gates of Hanover. Whew, the week is about to come to an end and oh man, there's so much stuff to push around here to get done. Let's see, what are the big few things that I'm digging into right now? Oh, the wide-angle photography book, of course. Translation is in full swing now. I've just been spending time proofreading chapters as they come back from the publisher. And Amazon has a release date for the book for mid-August. I'm not sure how exact those dates are. They tend to move around a bit, but mid-August seems like a good guess. And you can pre-order it at tfttf.com/wabook. tfttf.com/wabook for wide-angle book. And pre-orders, by the way, they have a function. They're of course also there to make sure that you're among the first to receive your copy. But it's also a great signal to the publisher. You know, they look at the pre-order numbers to see if they made a good choice picking up that book. So you can let them know that this book is worth it, and that is especially true with early pre-orders. So, tfttf.com/wabook, and I thank you for that. Second thing I've been digging through, I've been producing podcasts like crazy. Some of the shows get a bit of a pre-production run, which is just, it's just the way these things are done. The one thing we haven't really pre-produced too much for, but it's still kind of a weekly thing, is the futureofphotography.com. And the current episode that's out is episode 22 about videotography. Yeah, videotography, that's a thing. And the third thing that I've been busy with is I've been writing on the next book, which is still a bit of a secret, but it will soon be revealed. And then I'm also setting up for a photo session here, a studio session, which has to do with with another book that I've worked on before, and we're updating it to the current. That's the film photography book, and we're updating this to include some additional information and brushing it up for the next print run. So the photo session is to include some more gear in the book, and there's some huge boxes out in the hall that I need to carry upstairs and set up the studio and get everything done on that front. So that is also on my calendar. Oh, and taxes. And anyway, before we get into the Slack Challenge review, which, by the way, is also available on video, I just the other day received the following voicemail out of the blue.
Hi, Chris. I was hoping to take a minute or two of time on your podcast to make a recommendation to your listeners, especially new photographers. Please consider signing up for a photo tour. A few years ago, when I retired, one of my goals was to improve my photography. I registered for a 3-day photo tour in New Orleans. It was a city I had never seen, and I felt it would be a good way to learn from professional photographers, as well as visit an interesting location. I have now been on about a dozen photo tours to interesting places, from Death Valley in California to Greenland. I have met many great instructors and a whole bunch of other photographers. What does one learn? The first few workshops were like drinking from a fire hose. A wealth of information from the basics of the exposure triangle to the use of back button focus. Now, as I acquire more knowledge, the amount of learning decreases, but is replaced by spending more time on the actual composition. You never know when you will learn something new, and it might be from an instructor or from a fellow participant. I recall one day on a photo tour with Chris in Lofoten when the rain was coming down and the skies were very uninteresting. Chris pointed out the puddles and how if you got really low down to the ground, you could get some amazing reflections. I've had fun with that technique ever since. Of course, one of the main reasons for going on a travel photo tour is to make sure you get to the right location at the right time for the perfect sunrise or sunset. But to me, the experience is really an escape to a place where I can take pictures all day long, talk and live photography without the intrusion of my normal day-to-day life. I have taken photo tours with a number of companies and photographers. Some tours do review sessions and formal classroom training, while others, instruction is provided on a one-on-one basis as needed. Some tours are 2 days, others are 2 weeks. Some will be geared to wildlife photography or landscapes. Others will concentrate on specific skill sets, such as flash photography or tilt shift lenses. So pick the one that fits your time frame, your interests, your pace, and your budget. Most tours are focused on maximizing the photo opportunities and are not ideal for taking along a spouse who is not a photographer. So trips with my wife tend not to be photo tours, but I still try to book a photo workshop for a half day in a city we are visiting. Many cities have photographers who offer photo tours which take you to good spots for photography, can provide some photography tips, tell you interesting information about the area, and allow spouses to come along. Thanks, Chris. I enjoy the podcast and look forward to traveling with you again soon.
Wow. Thank you so much, Tom. This was, by the way, as much as it might have sounded like an ad, this was completely unsolicited. Tom, thank you so much. Yeah, of course, doing these kind of things, getting together with other people to do photography is really, it changes your approach to photography. It lets you network with others. It just does things that don't happen when you're only out there alone with your camera. And speaking of Lofoten, I will be there back in the fall this year. I think there are still a couple of spots open for that tour, and we're going back to the same places and maybe even find the same kind of puddles to play with and experiment with. It's just Lofoten and north of Norway is starting to turn into one of my favorite places on this planet. It's just beautiful. All right, now enough of that. Let's get straight into the Slack challenge review. The last challenge was water. And if you're new to this, here's what's going on. Every other month, Matt Armstead, our release pixie, gives all of us a photo challenge. And they usually take 2 months. And the big prize is not material. There's no stuff to win, but a review of your photo here on the show. And the theme of the last challenge was water, and it's now officially come to an end. And of course, I have again chosen 3 pictures to review here on the show. Now, last time I've not only done this review here on the show, but also on video. And the feedback I received about the whole video thing was quite good. So you guys seem to really have enjoyed that. So this time I'm doing it again. So if you want to watch along and see the photos, there's a link on the show description that goes directly to the video. So check that out. It's definitely better to watch when I'm reviewing photos. And if you're watching the video right now, I'm waving to you. This is part of the podcast Photography Tips from the Top Floor, known as TFTTF, and episode 817. And here is a shortcut link to that episode. So if you want to hear the rest of the thing, you want to listen to the rest of the episode, this is where you go. And this is where you find the entire episode and a lot more episodes, as you can tell from the episode number. So let's get right into this. The theme was water. And a great way to show water off, of course, is reflections, but also motion. So we have a lot of reflection photos, a lot of motion pictures where the water's motion is dragged out with a longer shutter speed. And sometimes even the connection of both, the mixture of both, which is really interesting. So here's the review, and let's get right into the photos. So here's the first one by Kyle Nekimken. Anyway, the title is After the Rain, and it's a reflection of a palm tree in a puddle on a parking lot. At least that's what I get out of that, or on a road or somewhere. It looks like a parking lot. Of course, the palm tree's reflection is upside down, because that's what reflections do when they are on the ground. The light behind the palm tree is warm. It's a sunset-like situation, which makes the whole palm tree situation into a beautiful silhouette. And then the puddle itself is in a parking lot, which means the light in the parking lot in front is more in the shade. It kind of evokes a feeling of dusk. So it's possibly been taken during sunset. And there's a beautiful primary color contrast in there, because the whole light in the shade in the front in the parking lot is bluish, and the sunset, the clouds behind the palm tree are lit in orange. And that makes not only a nice color contrast, also look how that subject is framed. I mean, the palm tree is the subject, of course, and it's framed by the puddle, and it's in warm light, which draws the viewer's gaze towards it. So it works really well. I like the photo a lot. So Kyle, great job. Next photo is by Andreas Huppert, I guess. Sounds German. Title, Water Lenses. And what Andreas has done is, I think, it's a pretty cool photo. It's very graphical, very like it's a drawing, like an ink drawing, drawn with black ink, very, very well-defined edges, at least in the foreground. And it almost looks computer-generated. It almost looks like it's a CGI photo. Very stylized. And but it is a photo. He's taken a macro, actually multiple macros, and done what's called focus stacking of water drops on black glass. And those hard edges in the front and the reflections on them, they contrast with the background, which is a light source. It's an LED light source, which is out of focus in the background. And that together, yeah, makes for interesting contrast on the front of the sharp versus not so sharp, but also contrast, of course, because it is a black and white photo. There's almost no gray tones in it, at least not in the foreground. So Andreas, I hope you printed this one out and hung it somewhere up on the wall. Last but not least, the photo by Brendan Burkett. The title is Puddles. And it's apparently been shot in Cincinnati in the rain. And it does a few things here. Well, first of all, we're looking at a photo of reflections at night. So you have a wet street. There has been rain, obviously. And then everything, all the lights in the buildings and in the windows reflect in the puddles on the ground, which, again, makes very, very interesting pictures. But then there are also these disembodied taillights from a car. You can see them, the red stripes that you get from longer exposures in the rain. And the car isn't there on the photo. It's just disappeared because it didn't register, because it moved. But the lights have registered. So you have these stripes of light, these disembodied stripes of light, which are also reflected in the ground, and they kind of point towards the backdrop. There's this looming building with a red, with red lights on the top, or right under the top, and white lights over the top, which kind of gives a glow to the, I guess, some mist and haze around the top. And so it's. It's an interesting way how the colors double. So the red taillight stripes double the red light on the top of the building. The white lights double the other white lights in the building. It's a good composition, but also a good use of technique for long exposure, for night photography. And kudos for doing a good job wrangling the red channel, because the red channel is always a bit of a difficult one to handle. So good job on all that, and good job everyone else. So Brendan, Andreas, and Kyle, you have done wonderful. And let me just let those images rotate a bit for you. Next challenge. We have a next challenge coming up right now.
Hello everyone, Rapsodar the Release Pixie here with your next Slack challenge. This challenge will be due at the end of May 2018, and the challenge for this month is a bit more open than we've done in the past, a lot less restrictive. The topic is contrast, so there's a lot of options for that, whether you're talking about contrasting lights, contrasting colors, contrasting subjects, high contrast processing, high contrast film. That's all we're talking about for the challenge this month. So go out and take a new photo, something that works for that subject or that theme of contrast, and process it however you'd like. Upload it to your favorite web hosting or onto the Slack, and then post a link into the channel. I'll get this channel set up by the time you see this. So do that, and then at the end of the challenge, I'll close it up, and Chris will take a look at the top three or four that he likes, and he will review them on the show. Happy shooting, everybody.
Awesome. So there you have it. It's, as always, go out and take a new photo. We don't have a way to enforce that, but there's no prize to win other than your photo being reviewed. So I guess the biggest prize will be that you get off your butt and that you go out and take some new photos. And so take that as a nice reminder that listening to podcasts is great, but going out to do photography is even greater. So the next challenge is, let me get those pictures back online. The next challenge is contrast. Here's the, this works. Here's the instructions on what to do. First of all, take a new photo depicting contrast in whichever way you want. Take a new photo again. Don't just take one that you took 5 years ago. There's nothing really to win. And I see this as a great way to get off your butt and go out and shoot. Second, if you're not yet on the TFTTF Slack, join it. It's free and you can share and be in a great community there. And the link is in the show notes. The link is also right on the screen. Russ, our chief invitation officer, will be happy to get you on board. And last but not least, submit your photo to that Slack channel. Matt will or has created this specifically for this challenge. It's called Challenge-May 2018. And I guess, let me change that thing on the screen. Okay, thanks again for watching and for participating. I can't wait to see your entries for the contrast challenge. And again, if you're watching this as a video right now, this is part of a podcast episode. You can listen to the rest at this address, tfttf.com/817. And I can't wait to see what you're going to submit for the contrast challenge. All right, here's a quick word from this week's sponsor, WeTransfer. And while this is a paid sponsorship, I regularly use their service all the time because it couldn't be simpler. First of all, WeTransfer is all about making that creative process easier for everyone. They built their site to be really the simplest way to share big files around the world for free. And literally, just the other day, I had to receive a 300 megabyte file from someone else, and their email system couldn't handle that. And I told them, use WeTransfer.com, and 5 minutes later, I had the file. No frills, very, very simple. There's no sign-in, no offer codes, no password to forget. Just upload, send, and then get back to making what you make. 40 million people use WeTransfer to send and receive files every month, and since day one, they've devoted 30% of their ad space to showcasing creative people from around the world, from photographers to musicians to illustrators to podcasters like me. So let's keep this short and let's get right back to the show. Thanks, WeTransfer.
Hello, Chris. It's Andrew from Ohio. I listened to you on Wheel Report's Tech Guy program on Sunday afternoons. I was wondering if you have any tips for shooting photographs in Alaska in June. I have a Sony CyberShot camera already. So any tips would be greatly appreciated. Thank you and have a great day.
Andrew, thank you so much for your voicemail. Alaska is big. It spans anywhere from 51 degrees north, which is the same latitude as Germany here, but it also goes up to 71 degrees high up north in the Arctic, where it's very cold. So let me give you my general approach first for new places to visit. I'll do some research. That includes what climate do I expect. Wolframalpha.com. Wolframalpha.com, yeah, is a good place to research that. There are the websites. You just enter climate and the place you go, and it'll let you know what the temperatures are expected to be like. That'll help you plan for your clothing and maybe see the chance of precipitation, so you can be prepared. Second, if you're into landscape photography, find out what the vegetation is going to be at that time of year at the place you'll be. That is an interesting piece of information to have. Also, what's the light going to be like there? Look at sunrise times, sunset times. The more you're in the south, the quicker the sunrise and sunset happen. The more you're in the north, the slower, and that'll give you longer time spans for this glorious morning and evening light. If you're into people photography, try to find out what they're like. Are they okay in front of the camera? Are they shy? Are they hostile? You never know. But you can Google these things. You can read forums and blogs by other people who've been to these places before. And as much as I like surprises, I will often go on YouTube to find out a bit more about the place I'm going to visit. So as you didn't specify where exactly in Alaska you were going, I sent you a mail back asking you, and you replied that you will be on a cruise ship sailing from Vancouver to Tracy Arm, to Skagway, to the White Pass Railway, to Juneau, and finally to Ketchikan. So you won't get up too high up north, and the weather in June, I think, should be just fine. But again, do your research there. As to general photo tips for that trip, well, I haven't been there myself, so I don't know the exact places. I don't know any details of what to see there. But my general recommendations for photography are the same as they are for any other photo tour. Shoot interesting stuff. Shoot stuff that is interesting to you, that you like. Look at the good angles. Try to find good angles. Walk around stuff and don't shoot stuff in front of any background. Backgrounds are just so much nicer when they don't interfere too much with your subject, or they even complement it. Look for good light. And again, sunrises and sunsets almost always make interesting light. And most important, make sure you don't just see everything through your camera's viewfinder, but also take some time to just take in the experience without any screens being in the way. And that was it for this episode of Tips from the Top Floor. Thank you so much for your support and for being here. And thanks to WeTransfer for supporting the show. You guys are awesome. Also, don't forget to send in your voicemails. I love getting your questions and your feedback and your tips. I was thinking about this. I would actually like to start a little regular segment on the show where you can give us tips, like listener-provided photo tips. So if you have one, send it my way as a voicemail to voice@tfttf.com. That's voice@tfttf.com. Music for the show by Jeff Smith, sound partner and Hans-Peter Kagerud, publishing and Slack challenges by Release Pixie, Matt Rafsidar Armstead, Slack invitations by Chief Invitation Officer CIO Rusty Russ. My name is Chris Marquardt. Follow me on Facebook and on Twitter at Chris Marquardt, Chris MARQUARDT. And of course, go out and take amazing photos, be nice to each other, and happy shooting.